we're holding our half test on with Bay's 17 lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about the concept of Odessa, where Reuben says to Shimon, I admit that I owe you X amount of money, and we said that if it's in front of Edom and he knows that the Edom are there, then it's a valid Hadar. We started talking about the question, under what circumstances can the Edom write that down and therefore make it a debt that has a shtar? So we talked about where if there are only two of them, then only if there's a kinyan. If there's three of them, then we had a machloikas, and we said eventually it really depends whether they're actually sitting as a basin. Rav Ashi had said that it would have to be they actually have set themselves up a particular place. We're going to be sitting here as a basin, and they summon him to basin, and therefore that shows that they're actually acting as a basin, and then therefore now there's piercing. Them to it, there'll be a coil, therefore they can write a shtar. So the Gemara continues, Now suppose he's moida about metaltlin, that the metaltlin that he has in his possession belonged to Pliny. We can be talking about metaltlin of that he's saying that they belong to the other person on the grounds of them being a loan, or we can also talk about some rishonim explain that we're talking about where he's saying that these metaltlin are actually a pikodin that I was given. Anyway, he's murder them. Rekonumi yodo. If then they make a kinyan on it on his hodah kosvin, then they can write out a shtar. Because once it's metalplin, then already it's easy enough to collect them. Or their value. So in general, when you make a kinyan, it means it's going to be written. V'imlav in kosvin. If not, then not. The Makauki Veloconomy Yodre, what about when it comes to Kauka, when he says this particular piece of land that I'm currently in possession of actually belongs to Pliny? Veloconomy Yodre, what happens if they didn't make a kinyan? My, then what do we say? Can they write it? So we have a similar machlok that says before. Amema Omo in Kosvin. Amema says you can't write it because unless he tells you to, or unless you make a kinyan. Mazutra says you could write it. Metaltlin, we say milva lohitsa nidna. For example, he's saying these metaltlin belong to Pliny because, for example, I owe him from before. So then, after all, they could easily be hidden, they could be lost or whatever. You still need to collect it like any other choyb. So therefore, you can't write a shtar without having checked with him. But over here, when it comes to karka, basically Rashi says it's gilui milsa ba'alma. The land doesn't move, so it's just saying something that's just saying how it was all along over here. And therefore, Mazutra says we don't need to ask before writing we don't need a kinyan or anything in order to write a shtar. And the Gemara says, V'hochsa kosvin, the halacha is, in fact, that we write a shtar in that case. Once he was murder on karka, even though no kinyan was made, we can write it. So the Gemara tells Ravina Ikla of Damharia. Ravina one time visited the town of Damharia. Omelet of Dimi Barabhuna mi Damharia lo Ravina. So one of the local Tamar Chacham of Dimi Barabhuna from that town asked Ravina, Metaltli v'isnu v'enayu mai. Now before we were talking about Metaltlin, that he doesn't necessarily have the Metaltlin in his possession right now at the time of the Hodah. So we're saying, therefore, that now it's going to be a matter of collecting the value of them, and not necessarily are we going to have the ability to, in order to do that, that would be like any other choyv, and therefore we can't write a shtar unless there was a kinyan. What about the East, Metaltli, the East New Bainai? Here where these Metaltlin still exist in their original form. Before we were just saying metaltlin in general. Now when we say metaltlin, the isnu beinayu, so now we have Rashi seems to imply we're still talking about a milva. So he's saying, for example, that these metaltlin were set aside to begin with to pay off that milva. Rabbeinu Yonah and a number of other Rishonim say that we're talking about a pikodon. That he's saying this metaltlin that I currently have in my possession is actually a pikodon from Pliny. So, can we write a shtar on that basis? Maybe we should write the shtar because right now they exist and therefore they can be already considered in the reshus of the one who's claiming it. Or maybe not, because then, for example, it might happen, they might get broken or lost or whatever, and then that would be a milva al peh that we're turning into a milva b'shtar. The Binyan Shloima actually explains that the question is rather like this. We're talking about money. We're not talking about Kalim or whatever, but we're talking about, let's say he lent him money and the money itself still exists. He hasn't spent it yet. So do we say that the loiva would actually prefer to have a shtar written because this way at least he has time to repay it? The din is usually a loan lasts for a minimum of 30 days. So it's true that having a shtar, it can be to his detriment later on, or at least in the short term, it benefits him. Or maybe on the other hand, the loiva might use the money and then the malva is not going to be able to get it back. So maybe the loiva would prefer not to write the shtar. So that's how the Binyan Shloima understands the question. In any case, so that's the question. Omalei, so Ravina says, Kimakarki Idamu. Ravina says they are considered like karka, therefore you could write the shtar. Rav Ashi says, no, Kibin Mechusri Guvaina. The fact is they haven't been collected yet. And after all, they might break. And they might break, for example, according to the first explanation, or he might actually end up spending them according to the second explanation. Then we can't write a shtar without, unless there was a kinyan. All right, the Gemara continues. There was a case of a shtar haidah. So there was a haidah in the presence of Edim, and they made a kinyan, or he told them to write a shtar, as the case may be. Now the problem was the shtar did not say that I have a kosuba omalona kisvul v'chismu v'hovole. It didn't actually say in the shtar that he, the one who was murdered, had said write out the shtar and sign it and give it to him. So what happens? Maybe it was written. Maybe the agent just wrote it without getting permission from him. And if there was no kinyan and no permission, then we've been saying all along in the sugya that the shtar shouldn't have been written and it doesn't have any validity. So the Gemara says, Abaya and Rava, Da'amit Havayu, Heinu Dirish Lokish. So Abaya and Rava both said that this would be similar to a case that Rish Lokish said. Da'amit Rish Lokish, Chazaka, Eina Edim, Chosman al Ashtar, Elim Ke Nasib Godol. We had in Bava Basra a case where a boy below 20 years, a boy had sold Nechosim, Yosim had sold Nechosim that he had inherited from his father, and we learned over there that the Velimka Benichse Avav, actually, hey, Ben Estrim, he can only sell such property only if he's 20 years old, and also he has to have Shtei Sairus and all that. So we had a case over there where we weren't sure whether he was 20 yet or not, or whether he was 20 and had simonim yet or not. There was, we even had in the Gemara over there, they wanted to unbury the body in order to check whether he has physical simonim, and we said he can't do that because of his zoyin ames in any way, because his simonim are not necessarily identical after he passes away. Anyway, the point is that we said over there, Rish Lakish had said, anyway, the chazaka is that Edom wouldn't sign on a shtar unless they made sure that the guy was a gadol. So in the same way over here, Abaya and Rava thought to say that Edom are not going to sign on a shtar unless they know that it's validly executed. Well, then, that means that either there was a kinyan or he gave them permission, even though it doesn't say so in the shtar. But Maskefor Rapapi, the Tamer of Huna Bred of Yeshua, but Rapapi or Huna Bred of Yeshua asked on that, why? Who says the Edom knew? How could there be necessarily? We ourselves, the Tamer of Chachamim, are not all familiar with that din. Rish Lakish had to be Machadish it for us. The Safli de Beidina Yadi, whereas the Sofrim of the Beis Din write. Now, we're not talking about, in other words, the Edom themselves didn't write the Shtar. They don't necessarily have that expertise. They would go to a Sofer of Beis Din who regularly writes Shtar for people, and they would have him write out such a document. But how do we know that the sofer knows that din to only write it if only if there's either a kinyan or permission from the moida? So the Gemara says, no, Shalino, the Safri d'Abaya, or the Yadi. No, as a matter of fact, they did actually ask the Sofim of the Beis Din of Abaya, the Yadi, and they knew that you wouldn't write it unless you were given authorization to. The Safri did Rava, the Yadi, they asked the Sofim of Rava, and they also knew. So we can say that, yes, we can apply Rish Lakish's din and say that the Edom wouldn't have signed it, and the sofer wouldn't have written it, and the Edom wouldn't have signed it unless they knew all the facts and knew that it was valid to write. Okay, another example. In other words, even though it doesn't say in the shtar that they had permission from him, but the very fact that the shtar itself is written shows that they did. Okay. There was another case of a shtar haidah. It said as follows. Now, normally, a shtar haidah is not something that's done in front of Beis Din. We talked about before, if it's done in front of Beis Din, but ordinarily the haidah is done in front of Edim. In which case, when they write a shtar, they're going to write it, the nusach they're going to write, it's something, it's a zichron edus, the memorandum, the remembrance of the edus, so that we shouldn't forget it. And they continue with the details that we testify that Pliny said such and such regarding the choiv that he owes, etc. So in this particular case, the shtar didn't say dichrin edus or whatever the lashon would be, which would mean on edus. It said duchran pisgomi. It said this is a memorandum. This is the way to remember the matters, which is the usual lashon that you write when it's in a base, when it's done in front of a base din of three. V'chol lishni de beis din, and had all the nusach that you usually write in a shtar of something that took place in front of beis din, but. It only had two signatures, the most of Now, it did not say in it that we were three and now one is missing. In other words, you can have a case, for example, where a base din of three sits to start judging a din Torah, and then one of them passes away in the middle, where the Gemara says that in that case, what they do is they write such a loshen, they say that we were three, however now, when we finish writing the shtar, there are only two of us. That way, when you see two signatures at the bottom of it, you don't start wondering, wait a minute, did these guys not realize that a beis din is supposed to be three? So here, the shtar is written in a nusach, implying that it was done in front of beis din, but there's only two signatures on it, and it didn't have that nusach. Sovereign, Ravina Lamema, Hainer Dredish Lokish. So again, Ravina thought to say, top of Amen Amen Aleph. Ravina thought to say that this is the case, like Rish Lakish is saying, where again, the Edim wouldn't sign it, the Sofer wouldn't write it, and the Edim wouldn't write it, unless they knew it was valid, and therefore again, the very fact that we have this Shtar would seem to indicate that it's fine, and that, the Dayanim, or the Edim, if it really was Edim, knew what they were doing. But the Gemara says, Omer Leid of Nosan Ba'ami, but Rav Nosan Ba'ami says, no, Hochi Aminim, Mishmei de Rava. No, we actually say, in the name of Rava, Koki Hai Gavna, when we have a case like that, Chayshin La based in Toyin, we do have to be concerned that based in made a mistake and thought that two was enough. Well, the Gemara can say, therefore, so we can't necessarily accept it, because a based in of two is really not enough. So the Gemara says, Omer of Nachum Yitzchak, Ikosav a Beit Dina, if it actually says on it the Loshen, the Beis Din, Tu Lo Tzarich, then we don't really need it anymore, because then we don't have a problem. Because in other words, the problem was that it has the Nusach of Beis Din, but it didn't actually say in so many words that it was done in Beis Din. So therefore, maybe they figured that, you know what, if it's good enough in front of two Edim, maybe it's good enough in front of two Dayanim as well. But if it actually said Beit Dina, everybody knows that two don't constitute a Beis Din. So two Lo Tzarich, then you don't need anything else, and it's fine as is. Well, the Gemara says B'dilma Beis Din Chotzuvu. Why? Because you could say that maybe it's what's called a Chutz V'tika Beis Din. De Omar Shmuel, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that Shmuel said Shnayim Shadonu Dinei and Din. We said if two people judge a Din Torah, v'diyevet, it's a valid Din Torah. Elish Nikru based in Chotzuf, but they call the Chutz V'dika based in because they're ignoring the Takonas Chachamim that there need to be three. We talked about at the very beginning of the Masechta where we get the number three for a based in from. We said Rabbi Bohu had actually learned it from Psukim, and therefore he said that it has to be three, and any less is no good. But Shmuel had said that that actually we don't, and therefore two really would be fine as well, except that it's called based in Chotzuf. And Tosfos points out the halacha is in fact like Shmuel. So maybe then in that case. But still though, the fact is that since it's based in Chotzuf, then when it comes to a Hadar over here, it still requires an actual based in of three, and here we have only two. So the answer is the kasuv that Beit Dina Drabana Ashi. The answer is it doesn't just say it was any old Beis Din. It says, for example, that it was the Beis Din of Rav Ashi. Rashi points out the reason why it mentions Rav Ashi is just because he was the Rosh Beis Din at the time when the Gemara was finalized. But the same thing, in other words, if it said, let's say for example, if it said in the Rambam's Beis Din, or if it said in Rav Akiva Eger's Beis Din, whatever, you would understand that it means, in other words, they weren't stam a Beis Din Chotzuf. So therefore, they obviously know that a Beis Din is supposed to be three. Still, the Dilma Rabbanan debate of Ashi Kishmul Svir Lahu. Still, you could say, I don't know, maybe the Chachamim of Rav Ashi's Beis Din, maybe they agree with Shmuel. Again, given that the Halacha is actually like him, so maybe they would apply that even to an Edissa, even to a Shtar Hadar, even though, as Tosfos points out there, that there it's taken not good to do it in front of two. And the answer is Dichtiv by Amar Nele LeRabbana Ashi VaAmalan Rabbana Ashi. The answer is where it actually has Lashonis that say in it, we said that when it's describing the whole thing that the whole event that happened in Beis Din, and a memorandum like this is basically written. It's basically a record of the arguments back and forth, the discussion back and forth on the final decision in Beis Din. So it says VaAmar Nele LeRabbana Ashi. We said to Rav Ashi such and such VaAmalan Rabbana Ashi, and our Rabbana, by the way, means our Rebbe. And our Rebbe Ashi told us to say to write such and such. So therefore, so if he was there, so Rashi explains, in other words, that when Rav Ashi himself is there, you can be sure that they were actually that it was actually a Beis Din of three. In other words, if it was just the Beis Din of Rav Ashi, you could say fine. Rav Ashi himself was not present, and therefore maybe the other members of the Beis Din took matters into their own hands. Figured if the din is like Shmuel, that b'di'evad din Torah with two is valid, then maybe also an edusa with two is valid to write a shtar. But no, now that we have that Rav Ashi himself, we have written in there that Rav Ashi himself was present and told us such and such, then we know that obviously they're not doing that. Rav Ashi would know not to make such a mistake like that and compare the one din to another. And therefore, we can be sure that there were actually three there.
Which two didn't work?
We're saying that on the one hand, Shmuel says that a din Torah can be done b'di'evad by two, and on the other hand, we're saying that when it comes to an edisa, when it comes to a shtar hayah, in order to write it down, you must have three sitting as a base din. If you only have two, then it would require a kinyan.
Hayda or
Moida? Hayda. We're talking about shtar hayda, which the Gemara is calling over here in Aramaic edisa, which means a shtar, the recording that Reuven said, I owe X amount to Shimon.
It's like
a milvah. Yeah, it's basically taking a milvah alpeh and turning it into a milvah b'shtar, yeah. The Rambam, when he brings this halacha, formulates it a little bit differently. He says it doesn't have to be that. It says Rav Ashi was there. The point is, if we have lashonis in there that indicate that there were in fact three of them there, so it doesn't necessarily have the explicit line we were three and now we're only two. But you have when you read over there the shtar, you can see very clearly that it's two people are saying the third dayan said to us such and such, for example. Speaking of hodois, though, now so far we've been talking about hodois that aren't, well, we started with hodois that aren't necessarily valid. We talked about yesterday there can be ones where a person says, I'm murder to you, and we say, Meshatani b'cho, you can say afterwards that I'm joking, or we can say, Shaloi las b'es bonav, I didn't want to make it look like my children, Shaloi las b'es atzmai, Shaloi las b'es bonav, I didn't want to make it look like I or my children are rich. So now, then we started talking about hoidoris that are valid, and now let's get back to hoidoris that are not necessarily valid. Tana Rabbanan, Obelahen Echad, suppose that a person says to Yisraelim, Anila isi avichem sheik min moris b'shida tevo migdol. I saw your father hiding away some money in a shida tevo migdol, which are various kinds of cabinets or closets. And your father said when he was putting it away, Shel Ploinihain, you should know this money belongs to Ploini, or Shel Maiser Shenihain, or he says this money is a Maiser Sheni, so make sure that you don't just spend it as though it was Cholin money. Well, do we believe him or not? But Bayis Loyomaklum, if the cabinet or whatever is inside the house, then what the aide says doesn't count for anything. Because he's not able to take it himself. He wouldn't be able to go into the house and take that money for himself. Therefore, basically, there's no migri. But if that cabinet or whatever is out in the field, and this aide who's coming and telling them himself could have easily gone and taken the money, then Dvarav Kayyamin, then what he's saying is valid. Because then basically he has a migui, also known as, Rashi calls it Malo Lashakir. He could, after all, take it himself and give it to that other party. So therefore, if he didn't, then we can believe him to say that in fact it does belong to the person who their father said that it belongs to. So now there is discussion among Rishonim. What about though? Why still don't we say that? Maybe the father was saying it, like we said before. Shaloi las bia. He doesn't want to make himself or his children look rich.
Or a better question: why didn't he give it to him?
Well, let's say he didn't have a chance to give it to him. He's saying, I'm putting it.
He said, okay, can you do this for me?
If he said, then obviously there's no question. But here we're talking about the father. Here we say, yeah. So one point, Rabbeinu Yonah makes a point that, you know, if the point is to hide how much wealth he has, Shaloi las bias atzma, he wouldn't be showing the other guy the money, and I'm showing it to you in order to hide it, so therefore obviously we have good reason to say that it was true. But on the other hand, again, if the aide himself would have been able to get it, So if the aid himself would have been able, wouldn't have been able to get it, then lawyer makhfum. Because Tosfos points out that you can't say if he wanted, he could have been quiet, he didn't have to say anything. If he said anything, it wouldn't wind up by the person it's supposed to go to. So he has to speak up. So therefore, as opposed to if it's in the field, again, he basically has the niggery that Rashi is describing. Rishonim also asks the question, what about though with in that case, then why do we believe him when it comes to Maisa Sheni? When it comes to what saying that it belongs to Pliny, fine, you can say that it's a matter of mammon, and you can say therefore that he has a migri. But when it comes to Maisa Sheni, it's a matter of Issa v'Heter, where there's a migri applying over there. So he actually leaves it as a tzarechiyun. So a possible answer is that maybe, listen, again, you know, he might have had to tell them that it's Maisa Sheni, and because he figures there's no choice. If he doesn't, they're not going to know, and they're going to end up spending it as though it was Chulin money. But again, if it's not in the house, then he could have taken it and give it to them and told them. So as a klola shel davar, the general rule, kol shel biyadei litlan dvar of kayomen, if this aide could have taken it himself, then what he said is valid, because then he has a migri, in biyadei litlan layom aklum, but if he doesn't have the ability to take it because it's inside the house, then what we said is, then we say it doesn't count for anything. What about another related case? What if the Yisoimim themselves see their father hiding out money in a container or a cabinet or whatever? And he himself says, Shall Pliny hen shall Maisa Sheni hen. He himself tells them they belong to Pliny or to Maisa Sheni. So now it's not a matter of a migri, but now we have another consideration. Imkim Moiser, if he's saying it in a tone of voice that shows that he's actually giving them information and telling them, and in other words, the implication is, and make sure to take care of the matter, make sure to give it to Pliny, make sure to use it as Maisa Sheni, Dvar of Kayam, and then what he says is valid. Im Kimarin, but if it seems that he's doing it just in order to trick them, because, for example, that he's afraid that they're going to end up spending it while he's alive, or that they're going to think that he's rich, and think that they can spend more of his money, or spend more money on him, or whatever, Loya Maklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. So it all depends basically on the tone of voice. Rashi says, Lahem, if it seems to them that he's most Dvarov versus Kamarin. What about a third case? Suppose a person is concerned. Now, Tosfos, by the way, just says, Ein Shayach Kan, Shalolas, Vias, Vanov. You can't really say that if he's Moser, Dvarov Kayomen, and he doesn't want to make it look like his children is rich. Tosfos doesn't elaborate on why, but the Pashtus, the reason is because, again, then why would he be, if he didn't want to make it look like he's rich, then why would he be telling them in the first place? A third case, Harishay Mitzara Mois Chiyaniach Loi Oviv. Suppose a person is concerned about, I know my father left me money, but I don't know where it is. And the Baal HaChaloyim came and told him, we'll explain in a second who the Baal HaChaloyim is, comes and tells him, it's X amount of money, you can find them in such and such a place, and you should know that money is Maisa Sheni when you find it. Such a case happened for Omru, and the Chacham said, dreams neither bring up nor bring down, meaning we don't say that because of this dream, then therefore this money actually would be considered to be Maisa Sheni. We ignore that part. Yes, he found the money exactly where the dream said he would. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean anything lahalacha. Now, what is Baal HaChaloyim? So Rashi says it means, yeah.
He was mitzgar al moiz sheniach le'obid. It sounds like you already knew that.
He knew that there exists money, but he doesn't know where it is. He didn't know that it was Maisa Sheni. He knew that his father had left a certain amount of money. He didn't know where it was. The Baal HaChaloyim came and told him, by the way, you should know that money is Maisa Sheni.
Was the father came to Bechaloyim?
So Rashi says that Baal HaChaloyim means Sar HaMar HaChaloyim Espalayla, means the Malach who causes people to see dreams at night. Now Gilyan Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger over here, refers to a tshuva from the Tashbitz that discusses that somebody had asked him about a particular case. Somebody had had a dream where something involving the tzibur, and they were thinking to declare fasts and other things because of it, and they asked the Rivash, what's the deal with that? So the Rivash goes into a whole discussion over there. You know, here we have a Gemara that says Dibri Chalomus Leimalin Vlemiridin. On the other hand, we have other Gemaras that seem to take dreams very seriously. So what's the deal? So he ends up saying that first he says, you know what, you could say like this. Here Rashi is saying that Bala Chaloi means a malach who brings you dreams. You could instead understand that Bala Chaloi means somebody else who had a dream. In other words, if the Yodish himself had the dream where his father comes to him and says, this money is my Zasheni, would be one thing. Maybe you have to take it seriously. But if somebody else comes and tells you, you know, last night your father appeared to me in a dream and said that this money you'll find in such a place and is my Zasheni money, then you don't have to pay attention to what he's saying because it's a third party. First, the Rivosh says that. So maybe Bala Chaloi then would not mean a malach, but rather somebody else who had a dream and came and told it.
Not the third party comes to him
in a chaloim. Reuven is concerned. I know my father left money. I know my father Yaakov left money. I can't find where it is. Now, a couple of days later, Moshe comes to him and says, not one of his brothers or whatever. So somebody else outside the family comes to him and says, you know, your father Yaakov came to me in a dream last night and told me that I can find the money in such and such a place. So first the Rivash says maybe that's what the Gemara means, that loy malin v'limeridin. But then he says not necessarily even. Maybe even when the person himself dreamt, and he goes on Barichos to explain that the Gemara itself makes a distinction in Brachos between dreams through a malach and dreams through a shed, the Tashbitz goes on to explain that the difference is you have a person who has a healthy imagination versus you have a person whose imagination is not so healthy for various reasons, whether because of sickness, whether because he ate too much last night or whatever. So really that would be the distinction. Then when do we say that we pay attention to a dream versus when not, when we can be sure it came from clear thoughts versus when we have reason to think that it came from something else.
I'm assuming if a Lubavitch was like someone outside that comes into a dream and a regular Talmud doesn't have the kech do it and tells you something, so then you it's more...
Maybe, but again, apparently according to the Tashbitz, you would have to know this person who has this dream, if it ever comes to him and says such and such. Do we know him to be somebody who's clear and level-headed and somebody who, for example, didn't eat, somebody who didn't eat three pizza pies last night before going to bed or something, you know, so, yeah. You remind me, you know, you have the famous joke where somebody comes and says, you know, last night I was told in a dream that I should become a Rebbe, and he goes to some other Rebbe to ask him, and then the Rebbe tells him, you know, what if the Chassidim had the dream that they should accept you as the Rebbe is one thing, but yeah. Okay, onward. Fine. Now, we said in the Mishnah, so that takes care of this whole matter of Hodah. That's the sugya on Odissa, on this whole matter of Hodah, and when we write it down, and when we don't, and when it's valid, and when it's not. Now, getting back to the Mishnah, we said, Shnayim Omrim Zakai Chula. We said eventually when it comes to Dinei Mominus, so you don't need a super majority, all you need is a simple majority. So if out of the Dayanim, two of them say that he's innocent and doesn't have to pay, and one says guilty, then he would be Potter and vice versa. So the question is Michtav Hefik Sivi. Now what happens if they're going to write the Psak Din? Now they're not necessarily always going to write it. In particular, they may just tell verbally. They may tell the Baal Din go pay or something. But sometimes there are cases the Gemara talks about where he's going to say Mehechem de Kisvu Mehechem Dantuni, write out and tell me on what grounds you judge my case. We're going to have something about that tomorrow, Beis Hashem. So now if they're writing it, how do they write it? If there was a 2-1 majority, they can't just write the Beis Din said such and such, because after all, some of them held one way and some held the other way. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar Zakai. So Rabbi Yochanan says, nevertheless, in that case, we would just write Zakai. We don't bother mentioning the point that different Dayanim disagreed on it. Rish Lakish from a Pliny or Pliny Mizakin or Pliny or Pliny Machayin. Rish Lakish says we would actually write out the Fedosh which ones said that he's Zakai and which ones say that he's Chayim. Now we did say in the Mishnah that the Dayan himself should not go afterwards and say, you know what, I would have been willing to exonerate you, but I can't help it. I was outvoted. But Rish Lakish would say, fine, that means that the Dayan himself shouldn't be going and doing that. But so the Ran explains, in other words, when it's Rechilus, when the Dayan himself is trying to go and ingratiate himself with the Baal Din, and you know what? I was on your side, but unfortunately I was outvoted. But here we're talking about we're writing out the din Torah. Then after all, you have the concern of Mechzik Shikra. The Gemara is going to point out you have the concern if you write just Zakai, like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Rish Lakish is concerned. That looks like a lie. It makes it sound like it was a unanimous verdict, and it wasn't. So therefore, Rish Lakish says that concern of Mechzik Shikra outweighs this concern of not of that the Baal HaDinim shouldn't know who was for them and who was against them.
That's the second interpretation of the Machlokes?
That's the second opinion in the Machlokes. We have Rabbi Yochanan saying, don't worry about Mechzik Shikra. Just write out that the Zakai. Just write out the Psak Din is Zakai. It doesn't matter which Dayan said what. The Shlokesh is saying, yeah.
It's only if you have two Dayan.
If you have three, and if you have two, and it was a 2-to-1 decision. If it was a unanimous decision, then there's no problem. You can just write Zakai and have done with it. So Rish Lakish, you actually write out the names of the Dayanim. Rabbi Lazar, really, it's supposed to be Omar. Rabbi Lazar says, who was a Talmud of both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, he says there's a third possibility. You're right. Midivrehen nizdaka Pliny. Based on the words of the Dayanim, Pliny was declared to be Zakai. Meaning we don't write the actual names, but we also don't write a loshen that makes it sound like it was unanimous. Which I think the Smet points out that if in fact it was unanimous, then Rabbi Lazar would agree. You wouldn't write that loshen because then it would be misleading. It would make it sound like it was a 2-to-1 decision. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My binai, what's the underlying reason for the difference of their opinions?" So between the three, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Lazar. Why does each of them say what he says?
You said the difference between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan.
We said the difference. The point. Sometimes when the Gemara says "my binai," it means what's the practical difference in halacha. Here, the practical difference is obvious. What nusach we're writing. The question is, what's the underlying difference between them? Why does Rabbi Yochanan hold we should write Zakai, and why does Rabbi Yochanan hold? Why does Rish Lakish hold we should write which Dayan said what? So the answer is, first the Gemara says there may be a nafkamina, ikabinayu, l'shalumi, ihu monosabadayu. Suppose, what would happen if the Beis Din, it turned out, made a mistake? Now we're going to learn in the next parak, there are times when if Beis Din made a mistake, they have to reimburse the wronged party. So they might, for example, there was a din Torah, Reuven claims, Shimon, you owe me $100. Shimon denies it, or whatever. It turns out, let's say, that Beis Din decides in Shimon's favor, so he doesn't have to pay it. Later on, it turns out that they were wrong, and he should have had to pay it, and therefore Reuven is now out $100. So in some cases, as we'll learn in the next paragraph, the Beis Din has to reimburse Reuven. So now, let's say we can say the difference is, would he have to pay his share towards that reimbursement? Dilamanda Omer Zakai, Meshalem, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that they just write Zakai, it would mean that, so we're not saying which Dayan said what. So even though it was a 2-to-1 decision, and he was saying Chayev, nevertheless, since he was outvoted by the majority, and they said Zakai, when it comes to him paying, he's going to have to pay as well. Well, the Mandar Omer Pliny or Pliny Mizakin or Pliny of Pliny Mechayvin, whereas according to Rish Lakish that says that you actually write out the names of the Dayanim who said that he's Zakai or Chayev, then we would say Loi Meshalim, he wouldn't have to pay, because then we would say that only the ones who said that Zakai. So in other words, what would come out then, we wouldn't say now that the two Dayanim who said Zakai all alone would pay the whole amount. It would mean we're supposed to split the payment into three, and two of them are going to be paying their thirds, and the Baal Din is not going to get the third is not going to get the third one. So you could say that's an afkamina between the opinions. Well, the Gemara asked why. Why? According to Rabbi Yochanan, because they only write Zakai, then he's on the hook to pay also. Why should he be on the hook? Fine, he didn't write in the Psak Din his name, but Lemelahu, let him tell the Dayanim, you see, I was right after all. I told you, Chayev, you guys insisted Zakai, now it turns out I was right after all. And if you guys had listened to me in the first place, then you wouldn't have to be paying either. Why should I have to pay just because you guys made a mistake and were ignoring my valid point, where it turns out after all that I was correct? So that can't be a valid nafkamina between the opinions. Rather, we can say maybe the nafkamina is, do they themselves have to pay the amount that he would have had to? In other words, so would we say maybe that we do have to, given that there were three dayanim, and if there's a mistake in the din Torah, then each of them would be on the hook for one third. Maybe we should say that the nafkamina would be, would they in fact have to make up for his part? So we could say Lamanda Omer Zakai Meshalmi. So if we say that they write generically Zakai, then we would say the ones who said mistakenly Chayev are going to have to pay the entire amount. which means, in other words, each of them is going to be paying 50%. Sure, he'll get out of it because, like we said, he can tell them that if you would listen to me, we wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. But we would say each of them has to pay 50%. Olamanda Amma, plenty of Zakin, plenty of Chayvin, whereas according to Rish Lakish, that we actually write out who said Zakai, who said Chayev, then we would say Loy Mashalmi, they wouldn't have to pay his third, because it's only the two who said Chayev who would have to be responsible, and we would say each of them is responsible for only one third. But the Gemara asked why. Olamanda Amma Zakai, why? On the contrary, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, Mishalmi, you're telling me, why should they have to pay? Why should they have to pay the extra amount so that each of them is paying 50%? V'lei Merulei, they can have a counter argument to him. He's saying, if you would listen to me, we wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. They can counter argue, and they can say, V'lei Merulei, let them tell him, Ilav Atba Adon Nu, and if you weren't with us as a third Dayan, Lo have a solid Dina Midi, then there wouldn't have been a Din Torah in the first place. Because, okay, but the fact is, you were with us, and therefore, you may not have to pay your contribution, but we shouldn't have to pay your contribution for you. Why should each of us have to pay 50%? Instead, we should say, look, we're three dayanim, we're all in this together, each of us should have to pay 33%. Fine, you're potter because you're saying, I told you so, but nevertheless, that shouldn't make us have to pay your portion.
So you'll have to lay out at the end?
No, so in other words, the point would be that in the case it's $100, so the dayanim, Reb Reuven, Reb Shimon, and Reb Levi. Reb Reuven is the one who said chayev, and it turns out that he was right after all. He'll be off the hook. Reb Shimon and Reb Levi are each going to be paying 33%.
And what will be the other 33%?
The other 33% is going to have to be forfeited. So that can't be a nakamina between the explanations either. No, the nafkamina is strictly on the question, are we concerned about the issue of rechilos that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that to know which dayanim said what is a form of rechilos, because you're revealing secrets from the Beis Din. Rabbi Yechon is concerned about that, so he says, in that case, then you can't reveal which dayan said what. Rish Lakish, I'm a plenty of Mizakin, plenty of Machayvin. He says, but you have a different consideration. Mishum de Mechsi Kishikra, because like we were saying before, it's going to look like a lie. If you write Zakai, it's going to make it sound like it was a unanimous decision, and the fact is it wasn't. So the fact, so the importance of avoiding something that looks like a lie outweighs the point of Loitzelech Rochel Ba'amecha, says, so in other words, the Yad Ramah says exactly that, that Rish Lakish would say, when do we apply Loitzelech Rochel? Only when it's not going to impinge on Mechsik Shikra. But when you have one versus the other, then Mechsik Shikra wins out. Rabbi Lazar holds of both of them. He has it's true. You have to consider Rechilos, and you do have to consider Mechsik Shikra as well. Therefore, what they should write is Medivreim Nizdaka Pliny, based on their words, Pliny was declared innocent. Meaning, in other words, making it clear it wasn't a unanimous verdict, but we're not listing the individual dayanim who did it either. So that way we cover all our bases.
What did Rabbi Lazar hold?
Rabbi Lazar held that we say Mizugrayim is Zakka Pliny. We say based on their words, Pliny was declared Zakkai. So that makes it clear that there wasn't a unanimous verdict, otherwise we would have just said Zakkai. On the other hand, we're not listing out which Dayan said what, and that avoids Leisevich Rochel.
And the other opinion that says you have to say which Dayan said what? What's his argument?
His argument would be that nevertheless, it's more important, he would say, that even Midivrehim might be taken to imply that it was based on the deliberations of the Beis Din, but it ended up being unanimous, and therefore he would say, Rish Lakish apparently would say that that's not good enough.
Tell me, isn't it Lashon Hara?
Okay, that's what we're saying. Rechilos is a form of Lashon Hara. All right, we got to go on. Okay. Well, the Mishnah continues, Gomru Sadova, when once the Dayanim finish their deliberations, Hoyimachnissin Chula, then it says they bring them back in. So who we bring back in? Laman. Do you mean the Balei Din, the two people themselves who are having the argument that came to Beis Din in the first place? Hossam Kaini, on the face of it, aren't they there the whole time?
We learned two days ago that they go outside.
So now the Gemara is assuming that, no, they actually, the Mishnah, well, let's put it this way. The Mishnah didn't say anything about them going out. If we're saying Machnis and Oysan, on the face of it, that should imply that they were there the whole time. So in fact, the Ran explains that no, when we said in the Mishnah, Motzianus Kaladam does not mean that we take them out of the Beis Din Shtibel. The fact is, we have to listen to the Eidos in the presence of the Balei Dinim. So rather, what it would mean is that when the Dayanim are arguing between themselves, then the Balei Din should go to a different part of the room or something so they don't overhear. But they don't necessarily actually go outside. So therefore, so what do we mean? Bring them back in where we bring them back into. Elul Edim. So evidently what we mean is we're talking about that we bring the Edim back in, because the Mishnah had said that we have to cross-examine them separately, because we don't want them to we don't want them to one of them to hear what the other one said and then tailor his Edus appropriately. So once we're done, then we bring them both back in. Well, the question is, command the like Reb Nosson. Well, then who is on Mishnah going like? Apparently not like Reb Nosson. Now, okay, you could say, fine, many times Mishnayos are not like a particular Tana, but we would prefer not to do that wherever possible. Wherever possible, we would like to assume that a Sam Mishnah is according to everybody. So let's work this out. The Tanya, La'olam ein edus in mitzadefes ad shiyushnein te'echad. Edus of two edim is not going to combine together unless they see it both at the same time. Rabbi Yeshurman, Korcha Omer, Rabbi Shulman Kolcha says, no, afilu b'zeh hazeh, even if it's one after the other, as we're going to see in the Gemara, what Rabbi Shulman Kolcha means by that. And the Braisa continues. So we'll deal with Rabbi Shulman Kolcha and the Chachamim soon. We'll deal with that point soon, what they mean by that. But first, let's deal with the main point is, the Braisa continues, v'ein edus in meskemas or beistin, ad shi yo'idus shnein ke'echad. The edus can be valid only in beistin, only if the two of them are saying edus one after the other, meaning, in other words, that it would actually have to be like the toshkere giver of one to the other. Reb Nosson says no. It doesn't even have to be one after the other. It could even be Shemin Dvarav Shal Zeh Hayoyim will listen to what one aide has to say today. And when the next aide comes the next day, then we'll listen to him. So we see that Reb Nosson holds that you can listen to the aidim, not in the presence of one another. So therefore, but our Mishnah is saying that you have to bring back in the Edim, meaning, in other words, you have to, in other words, the Mishnah seems to be implying that, why would we have to bring back in the Edim? The Baalei Dinim, we understand, they have to be there to hear the Psak Din. Why do the Edim need to be there? Apparently, the idea is, the Mishnah is saying, it wasn't enough. We have to hear their Edus separately, practically speaking, because otherwise they're going to collude. But nevertheless, afterwards, we're going to have to hear their Edus together, otherwise it's not going to be a valid Edus according to the Chachamim. Whereas Reb Nosson says, that's not necessary. So according to Reb Nosson, why we bring back in the Edim? So the answer is loy, lo'olam the Baalei Dinim. No, in fact, we do mean that we bring back in the Baalei Dinim, v'Reb Nechemyah, because our Mishnah would go according to Reb Nechemyah's version of how a Beis Din works. Titania, Reb Nechemyah, Omer, Kachay Minhogan from the Ki Hadash of Yerushalayim. The following was the Minhag of the pure-minded people of Yerushalayim. So they had their way of doing a Din Torah was as follows. Machnis in the Baalei Dinim, v'Shemin Divrehen. They bring in the Baalei Dinim and hear their respective arguments. And by the way, it has to be that way. They can't hear one without the other. That's an issue of Leisisa Shem Hashav, because one of them, whichever one speaks to the Beis Din first, is likely to have the greater impact on them. Or Machnissin is the Edim Hashem and Divrayim. Then they bring in the Edim and hear what they have to say, one at a time. Or Metzian Oysan Lachot, then they send them, meaning the Baalei Din, also outside. So not like we said before that the Ran had explained that we mean that we just have them go off to a corner or something. We actually send them outside, Venosin Vedaber, and we have them deliberate over the matter. This way, the Baalei Dinim have no idea that who's saying what. And also, this way, the Dayonim themselves are less likely to favor one of them. The smag actually point the snare actually the snare points out another point as well. Inevitably in the course of the deliberation between the dayanim, they're going to be bringing up different points that later on mitocham yomadu l'shaker, like it says in Pirkei Avos, they could learn from that. You know what? That's a good idea. I never thought of that before. I'm going to use that in the future. So we don't want the Baalei Dinim to be hearing the deliberations of the Beis Din. So they do that. Then Gomru Sadova, once they finish the matter, Machnisin Oisin Chula, then we bring them back in.
Which means all four of them or just two of them?
At least it means the two of them, the Baalei Dinim. But we're saying, in other words, in other words, like this, we thought that Motsi and Oisin can't mean the Baalei Dinim because the Mishnah hadn't said that they go out. But now we're saying, yes, Reb Nechemyah says they do actually go out. Beis Din does send them out so that they can deliberate in private without the Baalei Dinim overhearing.
So why isn't the Mishnah recorded?
The Mishnah didn't mention it because once we say that they bring them back in, then it's obvious that they send them out. So the Gemara asked.
You send out the Baalei Dinim. Why can't you deliberate in front of them?
Because we're saying for a few reasons. First of all, then they're going to know who said what, and the whole point is we're trying to keep that a secret as much as we're trying to keep it private as much as possible. There's also the consideration that then they're going to hear based on what the Dayanim are saying. They're going to come up with new svaras that they themselves can use in the future. In the Chos of Retoyan, or even not Chos of Retoyan. The point is, in other words, they might say, you know, this Dayan just brought up this point that I would have had a nigger in this case. You know what? Let me file that away, and I'll keep that in mind for later. Next time I have a similar case, I'm going to use that. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Well, Tanya Gomeros Adavim Machnisin Es Eidim," but we have another Braisa that clearly says once they finish the matter, they bring in the Eidim. So the Gemara says, "Okay, Ahi Deloik Rav Nosson. Okay, of necessity, that Braisa is not like Rav Nosson because, yeah, according to Rav Nosson, there'd be no need to bring back in the Eidim."
Got it.
Okay. So the Gemara says Gufa. Now let's get back to the beginning of the Braisa that we said before. La'olam ein edusim mitzarefes ad shi yushneim keachod. We said the edus cannot combine unless they both see it at the same time. Rabbi Yisroel ben Korcha im afilu b'zeach hazeh. Rabbi Yisroel ben Korcha says even if it's one after the other. So the Gemara says b'mai kamifli. What's the machloekas? First of all, what's the underlying svara of the machloekas? And then what do we mean by one after the other? So iboisem a svara. If you want, I can say I have a pasuk to show you the point, and if you want to say that, you can say they're arguing on a svara. Iboisem a svara. What do we mean by, how could it be that one sees today and the other sees tomorrow? If we're obviously, so we have to be talking about, for example, that one aide says, I saw Reuven lend Shimon money, $100 on Sunday. And the other one is saying, I saw Reuven lend Shimon $100 on Monday. Well, it's not the same thing. So, Iboris de Mesvara. The Tanakama holds, Amonet Kamasid Hai, Le Kamasid Hai, Umonet Kamasid Hai, Le Kamasid Hai. The fact is, each one is saying Eidos had a different mana. How could you combine them together?
Same people involved, so it's a guy named a stick for the day.
Or it doesn't even have to be different days. No, so that's fine. Days is one thing. So Rashi says it just means it doesn't even mean different days. One of them says, in my presence he lent him a mana. The other one says, in my presence he lent him a mana. But neither one saw the other. So there's not one complete Eidos. The Chum hold, that's no good. The fact is, the two of them agree that Shimon owes Reuven $100. So what do we care whether they saw each other or whether it was different days or anything like that?
So that difference between one Eidos or two.
And that would be the difference. Do we accept such an Eidos or not? So in other words, basically the Yad Ramah explains according to the Tanakhama, the Eidos has to be on the action. So therefore, it can't be two different loans, even though it amounts to the same thing. According to Rabbi Shimon Korcha, fundamentally, the Eidos is on the amount that he owes. So it means the basic.
Bottom line,
yeah. Another way you can look at it is they're arguing at the meaning of the pasuk. The pasuk has the expression that he was an aide and he saw. Well, he knew. Now, you have the case, which we'll learn about in Masechta Shavuos later this year, Be'ez Hashem, where a person says, I know that you, Adim, were present when this thing happened, when I lent this guy money, or whatever it is. I want you to, I'd be swearing you to come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf, and they're saying, we don't know the Eidos. Later on, when it turns out that they were lying, then they have to bring a korban. They have to bring a korban over the Yodin. So what does it mean? He was an aide. An aide is a singular. Adim has to be plural. V'tanya, we learn in a braisa. Mimash mashenem ala yokum aide. Now, you have a positive that says in Parshas Shoftim that one aide cannot stand up against a person to testify to have him chayiv mister or mammon or whatever. So once it says, lo yokum aide en yadeshu echad, automatically the word aide should mean one. Ma tamad leima echad, so why does the positive say aide echad? It should just say, lo yokum aide be'ish. Zeb bona av, from this we have a binyan av, kol mokum, shenema aide harei kan shnayim. Whenever the Torah says the word aide, by default it means two. Means it doesn't mean an aid, as in one individual aid, means an aidus, which requires two. Ad shi yifarat l'chal kosev echad, unless the pasuk specifically says echad. So here where it says lo yokum, in other words here, if the Torah had said lo yokum aid be'ish, you would say that even two aidim are not good against him. When it says aid echad, makes it clear that here it means one aid cannot testify to make a person chayev, but two aidim could. Well, so the same thing over here. When it says v'hu aid, means that there were actually two of them. V'atke rachmona b'loshen chad. So why indeed does the Torah express it in the singular? Why not say v'heim aidim, and they heard or whatever? L'meima, because it comes to tell you, ad t'chazu t'avayu k'chad. The Tanakhama holds only if the two of them see it as one. So therefore, according to him, then we learn from that pasuk that they both have to see each other, they both have to know that each other was present, and they're actually seeing the same, and they're able to testify that they saw the same mice.
The pasuk said that in loshen rab, not in singular.
But the fact is, the pasuk, the word aid itself is in singular form. It means to aid him.
Wow.
But nevertheless, why did it say it in singular form? Why did it say the aim aid him? So therefore, the Tanakhama learns out that concept from that. And the fact is, when it comes to Shavuos Eidos, that kind of case where he beswears them to come testify for him in Beis Din, if it was only one and that guy denied and said, no, I don't know any Eidos for you, later on he would not be bringing the Korban, because it only works when the Eidos would have been a fully valid Eidos in Beis Din.
Them.
Yeah. The Idach, whereas Rabbi Yishua ben Korcha explains, no, because the fact is, it says, who aid, oy ra, oy yada, mikol makam, no, because when it says he was an aid, or he saw, or he knew, mikol makam means even if they didn't see each other, or even if it was different days, or whatever. Okay. So that explains their machlokes.
Circumstantial.
Yeah. Not circumstantial. No, they're both saying that they see the aiders. They just saw it on different days. So nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon Kocha says the bottom line is they both agree that he owes him a money, and therefore that's that. Okay. Next. The Eidos just in the Skemus of Beis. Now let's deal with the second half of the Braisa. We said the Eidos is not valid based in Adshi Eidos Shnein Ke'echad, unless the two of them say Shavua together, unless the two of them say Eidos together, one after the other. Rab Nosson Omer, Shemin Dvarav Shazal Yoim, we said Rab Nosson had said that we can listen to one Eidos today, and we'll listen to the other one when he shows up the next day. So again, the Maikum Mifugi, what's the underlying machlokas of Rab Nosson and the Chachamim? And again, the answer is, he boi sem a svara, he boi sem a kra. Here also you have a svara or a pasuk that we can say they're arguing about. He boi sem a svara. Marsov of the Tanakama holds, aid echad ki osi, l'chayv l'shvua osi. Listen, when one aid comes to Beis Din by himself, the maximum he can do is m'chayv shvua. He can't be coming to be Mechayev Mammon because one aid is not enough for that. So therefore, how can you combine together with another aid to now turn it into, till now he came to be Mechayev Shavua. Now you're going to say, we're going to transform his aidus into one that's Mechayev Mammon. The Tanakhama says you can't do that. The Idach, whereas Reb Nosson holds, Otu ki osu b'havi adori b'chad pomokom asabi. Listen, even if they come together, do they give Eidos with one mouth? The fact is, you still have one of them is saying Eidos first and the other one second. Even if Nosson agrees, after all, you have to have the procedure in the Mishnah that you're listening to them one at a time because the fact is we don't want them to overhear what each other is saying. So anyway, Ela Mitzafin and Lahu, nevertheless we can combine it. So Hochanami Mitzafin the same way, even though here it was different days, we can also combine them. So that's the svara. The Iboi Sema Kra, you can instead say that they're arguing on the meaning of the Pasuk. The same Pasuk that we said, Vahu Eid Oira or Yoda continues, Im Lo Yagid V'Nosa Avoine. If he does not tell his Eidos, then he will bear his guilt. And then, in other words, we're saying that would be when he brings the Korban. Now, Udekula Almakira Bonan de Pligia Le Der Beshurban Korcha. I'm going to say that in the second machlokas of the Braisa of the Tanakama and Rab Nosson, both of them agree with the Chachamim against Rabbi Yishua ben Korcha. They do agree that the two Eidim have to see it at the same time. So they would disagree. Rabbi Yishua ben Korcha had said they could even be seeing, let's say, different loans on different days, and nevertheless their Eidos can combine. That was Rabbi Yishua ben Korcha. No, we have two different machlokas in the Braisa. We have the Chachamim versus Rabbi Yishua ben Korcha. Can we accept Eidos from different people from where one Eid says he saw it, and the other Eid also says that he saw it, but they didn't see each other? The Chacham holds no, Rabbi Shimon Kocha holds yes. Then we had a second machlokas, Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim. What about when it comes to the giving of the Eidos in Beis Din? Do they have to do it one after the other, or can they do it on different days? So now we're going to say that both Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim in that second machlokas, they both agree with the Chachamim in the first machlokas. That when it comes to the seeing of the Eidos, they have to have seen them both together. They have to both know. They have to each know that the other one was there. The question is, then, do we make a hekesh between the telling and the seeing? The pasuk mentions them both in the same pasuk. V'hu ra or yoda im lo yagid v'nosa avonei. Is that enough to make a hekesh? Marasava makshin and hagodol ria. So the Tanakama of the second machlokas is going to hold. We're going to compare. We're going to have a hekesh then in the pasuk between the telling and the seeing. So in other words, so the same way as they have to see it together, the same way they have to testify and baste it together. Umar Sover, whereas Rav Nosson holds Loi Makshin, and we don't have that hekish, and therefore just because they have to see it together, but they can still say Eidos separately, one after the other, right? Even on different days, they do not have to all say it one after the other.
Which in a way is better because one Eidos doesn't have to. Hear what the other one says and then say that to be able to play a game, say the same thing.
Okay, nonetheless. Okay, fine. The Gemara says,
This is the point. So you guys saying, that answers the question in what they argue, whether they can come between Rabbi Yishuv and Korcha?
No, not between Rabbi Yishuv and Korcha, between Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim. We're saying Rabbi Nosson. Rab Nosson holds, the Chachamim hold that we have a hekesh in that pasuk.
So
we both agree.
Shoyman or not.
Yeah, whether Shoyman or not, right.
So how do you see it from the pasuk?
Because you, Because you see that it's putting in the same pasuk, v'ruhu ra, that he saw the Eidos, im lo yagid, if he doesn't tell it in Beis Din. So the Gemara tells us, so now let's see who is the halacha like in each of these machlokesim. The Gemara says, Reb Shimon ben Oyakim have a mishkid alei de Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina lemisnechei. Reb Shimon ben Oyakim was really trying hard to get Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina given smicha. It wasn't working out, as we learned at the first parak in the Masechta. You generally need three dayonim for the purpose. The Sanhedrin Tana, one of the major mafarshim on our Masechta, points out also that Reb Shimon ben Oyakim, because Reb Yochanan was there, so you can't override Reb Yochanan, give him smicha himself. And Reb Yochanan, for whatever reason, didn't want to give Reb Yosi Reb Chanina smicha. I guess he thought he wasn't ready or whatever. Well, so Yom Echad have a Yosef Tamei de Reb Yochanan. One time, he Reb Shimon ben Oyakim was and Reb Yosi Reb Chanina as well was sitting as Talmidim in front of Reb Yochanan. Omer Lahu, so Reb Yochanan says to the Talmidim, Mi ika yada halacha k'Reb Yosef ben Korcha Oyloi. Does anybody know in the first machlokas is halacha like Reb Yosef ben Korcha or not? Is it fine if the Edim see the things on different days or different places or whatever, and we can combine it together because they're both saying that he owes a money after all, or not, that they have to be able to see each other and know that each one is present. So who is the halacha like him? Amalei Reb Shimon Oyakim Dein Yoda. So Reb Shimon Oyakim says, this one, Rabbi Yosi Ben Chanina, knows the answer. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says, fine, Leima Inhu. So let him, Leima Izu. So let him, the word Izu, by the way, usually having the Gemara easy, has one of two possibilities. It can mean easy, Rashi translates in some places, means my friend. And the Rashbam, in at least one place in Chumash, explains that it means, like in English, you would say so or then. So let him say. Or according to the other explanation, my friend, let him say it. Omalei, sort of Shimon Oyakim, sees now he has his opportunity. Lisnechei ma'abereisha, first Rebbe, give him smicha, then he'll tell you the answer. Samchei, good, sort of Yechanan on the spot gave Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina smicha. Omalei, then he says, Bni, Emily Kate at Shemaita. So tell me exactly what you heard. That will answer the question. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina answers, Kach Shemaiti, Shemoder Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha Reb Nosson. I have heard that Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha would agree with Reb Nosson that the Edim don't have to say Edus together. The same way as Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha says, they don't have to see it together. He would also say they don't have to say the Edus in Beis Din together. No, the Fakert, he would say you do compare them, and once you're saying that they don't need to see it at the same time, then they don't need to testify at the same time either. Omar, said Rabbi Yochanan, says, Lezehu tzrachti, is that what I needed? I know Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha holds like Reb Nosson. Hashto ma ikar re'iyah b'hadi adodi, madach, when it comes to the actual seeing of the Eidos together, Omar Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha lo be'inan, Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha is telling us that you don't need, hagodim b'boya, would we need to say that when it comes to telling it over, that they don't need to. So sure, Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha agrees with Reb Nosson. But not necessarily does that mean the opposite, that Reb Nosson agrees with Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha. We, after all, we just said, in fact, that Reb Nosson and the Chachamim maybe are both holding like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha. So that still doesn't tell us one way or the other whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi Ben Korcha or not. So it comes out, I gave you smicha for no reason, basically. Omalei. Nevertheless, one second, I'll explain in a second what the Maharshal has a very interesting explanation about this whole story. Omalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what, Hoyova Alisa Leiteirin, once you went up, once you received smicha, then you don't go down, we're not going to demote you. Omer Rav Zeira, Shmamina, so Rav Zeira says, we see from this, Gavra Rabba Kimin de Samich, or de Ismich, really, it says on the side, once a great person, once a Talmid Chacham has been given smicha, then he's given smicha, even if it was on mistaken premises, as long as he does deserve it. We're not talking about, in other words, if they take Stam and Rosha and they give him smicha, but we're talking about, we're talking about somebody who's taka learned, and for whatever reason, you thought he wasn't ready yet, so once he's given smicha, then we'll let it stand. Now, yeah, so what's going on over here? The Maharshal, gives over here, and first of all, the Maharshal brings that actual point, that if a person gives smicha betos v'ayde t'nai, then a taka wouldn't be a valid smicha. He brings an interesting analogy, the Maharshal brings an interesting analogy from the halachas of korbanos. We're going to learn, when we learn Masechta Zvachim next year, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn there's a concept in korbanos called the im'olo lo yerin. Sometimes you have a korban, which would be posel, but nevertheless, if it was brought up to the Mizbeach, we don't take it down. On the other hand, if the korban was a baal mum, then we do. So he says, so if they give smicha to somebody who's completely unqualified, that's like a baal mum. Sure, we're going to say him ola yered. He's not a baal mum, just Rabbi Yochanan thought he's not ready for it yet. So yeah. Okay, so what's going on over here? I mean, what is Rav Shimon Yaakov doing over here? He's going to blackmail Rav Yochanan. You can't get the answer to this unless you give this, and unless you give Rav Yossi smicha. What was Rav Yossi ben Chanina thinking? Rav Yochanan wants to know who the halacha is like. What is Rav Yossi ben Chanina saying that has any bearing on it? So when he explains like this, Rav Shimon Yaakov knew that Rav Yossi ben Chanina knows something regarding this din of Rav Yishuv ben Korcha. So he says exactly that. Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha agrees with Rav Nosson, but on the contrary, we should say Rav Nosson apparently does not agree with Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha, which would mean that Halacha is not like Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha, because then it means he has everybody against him. So therefore, that would answer Rabbi Yochanan's question. So in other words, he says, Fakert, when my Rebbe told me that Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha agrees with Rav Nosson, the implication of that was, on the other hand, Rav Nosson does not agree with Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, so you should realize, in other words, nobody else holds like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, and that would be a reason to pass him against him. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, listen, I know you don't pass them like a yochid unless you say so. So what he should have said,
your implication is correct.
If your implication is so fine, I didn't need your implication, in other words. So what I was wondering is if anybody actually said the halacha is like him. I was hoping to find somebody I would like to pass him, like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. If I can find at least one opinion who will hold like him, then I would say that I could. So now you're telling me that Rabbi Nosson doesn't hold like him. Well, that brings me back to square one. Okay, so now I knew before that nobody holds, I didn't know of anybody before who holds like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. Now I also don't know of anybody who holds like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. So you haven't really helped me out, he says. So the Gemara goes on. Nonetheless, the halacha is like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, whether it comes to edus on karka or whether metalflin. So let's say, for example, with karka, it would be hoidah. It would be that Reuven says, in my presence, Pliny said to Pliny that the karka that he's in possession of actually belongs to the other guy. And then Shimon says the same thing, so they didn't see each other, but nevertheless, we're saying the halacha would be like Rabbi Shimon Korcha, that can combine together. And the same thing when it comes to Metalflin. Because again, they both agree that he owes him a mana. That's Rabbi Chiya Ba'ovin. Ula oma halacha Rabbi Shimon Korcha, but kakos avaloi b'metalflin. Because by Metalflin, you can say it's different, because then you don't really have, at least with Karka, it's the same piece of Karka. By Metalflin, it's not the same Metalflin, after all. He says that he owes him 100, but it's not the same 100. So Ula says you're saying the halacha is Abaya says you're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Korcha by Karka. Does that imply that they actually argue? In fact, the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Shimon Korcha when it comes to Edus and Karka, precisely for that reason, because the Karka is there right here. And therefore, what do you mean halacha? The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Korcha, as if to imply that you should know the Chachamim do argue with Rabbi Shimon Korcha in that case as well. But you should know the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Korcha. But when it comes to Karka, they don't argue in the first place. The Orachoner points out, by the way, we did say before that Rabbi Shimon Korcha and the Chachamim might be arguing on Svara or on a Pasuk. We have to assume that what we're saying over here, that they agree with Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, would be only if they're arguing based on Svara. If they're arguing based on how to Darush in the Pasuk, then there's not going to be a distinction between Karka and Metalflin. And Abaya continues, the Tonir of Idiba Oven bin Nizikin de Bekauna. In fact, Rav Idiba Oven taught a Braisa that came from the collection of Nizikin from Kauna. We've learned a number of times that Kauna was an Amora in the times of Rav and Shmuel. He was an expert in particular on the halachas of Nizikin and Dinim Mominus, and he put together his own collection of Braisas on the subject. Rav Idiba Oven taught a Braisa from that collection, Moidim Chachamim, Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, the Edus Bechor. The Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha when it comes to Edus about a Bechor, to say that we're talking about a Bechor of an animal, meaning to say that a certain mum in the animal was not done deliberately. Now, in general, we have a concept of Koyanim in particular. Rashi brings at length from Bechoris over here, Koyanim are suspect about making Mumim in Bechoris, because they know as long as the Bechor doesn't have a Mum, it can't be shechted when there's no Beis Mikdash. So therefore, we're raising it, and we're not getting anything out of it, so it's in our interest to make a Mum in it, and then that way we can shecht it and eat it. So, what?
It's called a lust.
It's called a lust, apparently.
Yes, a burden.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. So if a Koyan is going to come to a Chacham with a Bechor that has a Mum, he needs to have two Eidim that the Mum happened by itself. So now if he brings one Eid on one Mum and a different Eid on a different Eid on a different Mum, then it will combine. Because the bottom line is they're saying it is a Baal Mum. Rashi then brings a second explanation that it means that we're talking about one aid to give aiders that the Chacham was matir. Rashi says that no, aidach neman b'isurin, actually for that, even the Kohen himself would be believed, because we don't suspect the Kohen of shechting kodshim b'chutz. We don't suspect him that he's going to say that I'm going to this animal doesn't in fact have a mum, and I'm going to shecht it anyway and be over on an isur kores. He wouldn't do that. Well, actually, no, so it's not so much that. Rather, Rashi says milsa davidu l'gluyeh, because if he says, I asked the Chacham, we can go later on to that Chacham. We can call him up. Were you actually matter that Bechor? And his lie is going to be exposed. So he wouldn't do that. So Rashi says, we're not talking about Eidos that the Chacham was matter. We're talking about Eidos where one Eid says, you see this Mum on the animal, it happened by itself. And a different Eid says, you see that other Mum on the animal, it happened by itself. So then the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Shrubin Kocha that would be fine. Now, so that's by Bechor. Over Eidos Karka, and we're going Eidos of Karka that we just said. Over Eidos Chazaka, also as far as Chazaka, where let's say, for example, Reuven says that he had possession of the field during years 1, 2, and 3 of the Shemitah cycle, and the other one says during years 4, 5, and 6. So it's the same Karka, and they both are saying that you have a valid Chazaka. V'chein Shemaben v'Shemabas. And the same way when it goes to Eidos about a boy or a girl about whether they have Shtei Cyrus, which we're going to deal with that further on in the Gemara. So the point is, in other words, so we see that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha in a bunch of cases, one of them being Karka. So what are you saying? The Halacha is like Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha when it comes to Karka. Nobody disagrees with him. The Gemara answers, Gavra, Gavra Karamis. Are you trying to point out a contradiction between two different people, between two different Amiroyim? Marasava Pligi or Marasava Le Pligi? Ula disagrees with Rab Abba and Rab Idi and says that they do argue even on the case of Karka, and Rab Abba and Rab Idi say that they don't. So it's so no problem for Ula to say the halacha is like Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha when it comes to Karka, because in fact according to him not everybody agrees with him on Karka in the first place. Okay, now my v'chein shabbat ben v'shabbat bas. When we said also when it comes to Eidos regarding a boy or a girl, so what do we mean by that? E lema. Suppose to be a gdolah, a gadol, or a gdolah, they need to have shtei cyrus. So suppose you're going to have that one aid says that he saw one hair on her back. Gaba literally means her back, and kresa means her stomach. Rashi translates gaba as kishrei etzboiseha, the knuckles of her fingers. That might be a euphemism, or it might be whatever. The point is, gaba and kresa refer to different parts of the general, In general, the halacha is, when we talk about Shtei Cyrus, they don't also have to be on the erva itself. They can be anywhere in that general area where hair normally grows. So you're going to say that one aid saw that he saw it on one side and the other on the other side. What do you mean? That can't possibly be combined together. Then you only have, each of them is only testifying to half the matter, and you have half an aidus on each and a half of the matter. That doesn't, for sure, that can't combine together. Because an Eidos requires two Eidim, and here each one is saying about a different hair. So that's no good. Now, rather, we're going to say that we're talking about that one Eid said that he saw two hairs on Gaba, and the other one says he saw two hairs on her Kresa. So each one is saying a complete Eidos. The only question is, can we combine them together, given that they're testifying on different parts of the body? So we said that, the Braisa that Rabbi Idi Bar Oven quoted says that yes. Fine. So the Gemara continues. Omer of Yosef, Anoam minim shmeid ula halacha Rabbi Shimon Kocha ben Kakos ben Metalpin. I say that in the name of Ula, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Kocha, whether by Karka or by Metalpin. So not like the version of Ula that we said before, who said only by Kakos, not Metalpin. Rabbi Yosef's own version of what Ula said was that he said that it applies both by Karka and by Metalpin. Verabbanan, the also when Mechuzah Amri, whereas the Chachamim who came from the city of Mechuzah said Omer of Zera, shmeid Rab Kakos ein avaloy be Metalpin. That they said that Rav Zera had said in the name of Rav, it works only by Karka, not by Metaltlin. Rav L'taymei, now Rav in saying that is going according to his own Svara. If you have, what if there's two Hoidos? What if one aid is saying that Reuven was moida to me that he owes Shimon a money on Sunday, and the other one says he was moida on Monday that he owes that money? So that can work. So those can, and also Hoida Achahalva. Also, for example, if one aid says that he actually lent him the money on Sunday, and the other one says he was moida on it on Monday, Mitzarfi, then they can combine together, because then we can assume that it all applies to one Choiv. Halva, acha halva, halva, acha hido, loan with starfi. But if it's two separate loans, if one is saying he lent him money on Sunday, and the other one's saying he lent him money on Monday, or halva, acha hido, he's saying that Reuven admitted that he owes him a money on Sunday, and the other aide says, and I saw him lending him money on Monday, then obviously it's two loans, and Rab would say, loan with starfi, they don't combine together. Meaning, in other words, now, if we went according to Rabbi Shimon Kocha by Metaltlin, we would say it combines, because ultimately they're saying he owes him a money. The fact that Rav says doesn't shows that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon Kocha when it comes to Metaltlin. Okay.
So what is that, though?
Well, so far we haven't finished the discussion yet, but we're saying that Rav holds we can't do that when it comes to Metaltlin. So let's see if we can manage to squeeze out another couple of minutes over here. The Gemara says, "Achkechid Rav Nachman Yitzchok to Rav Huna Breder Veshua." Rav Nachman Yitzchok later on met up with Rav Huna Breder Veshua. Amalei, yes, Maishna Halva Achalva Deloy. Why are you telling me that if it was two separate loans, then they can't combine together? Obviously, the reason the money to Kachazi High like Kachazi High, because obviously each one is seeing a different money that he lent him. Well then, Hoidah Nami. Well, when it comes to the two Hoidahs, Amona de Kamoida Kamehai, Le Moida Kamehai. Not necessarily is it the same Mona that he's admitting on in both times. So why should we combine them? The answer is, Da'amalei Lahai Basra, because the case is, he says to the second aid, Bahai Mona de Oidile Kamoch, Oidile Nami Kame Pliny. You should know that Hoidah, that I'm telling you now, that I owe a Mona to Pliny, I said the same thing to a different aid yesterday.
Yeah, but that's only in front of one aid.
Yeah, but each one is in front of one aid, but Rabbi Shimon Kocha is saying they can combine together. And Rav says that's fine. Hodah Achaydah is fine. So wait, the Gemara says, Akati Basu Yada Kamala Yada. The problem is, the second aid then now knows that he's the second aid of a group. The first aid doesn't know. And the answer is, the Hodah Ozov, Omer Kama, because we're talking about that then. He also goes and tells the first one, Hai Mona, the Odiyele Kamach, the Mona that I admitted in front of you, Odiyele Nami Kamit Ploini, I also told the second one. So that way, both of them know. Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, Tanuach Dait Hoshes Nach Des Daiti. May your mind be at ease, because you put my mind at ease by giving me that answer. But Omalei, but Rav Huna says, don't think it's such a great answer after all. My Nichusa, why are you so satisfied with that answer? The Rava, the Itamer of Sheshes, shot a Bonaga. You should know that Rava, or some say of Sheshes, threw an axe at it. In other words, you have a nice tree over there, but he chopped it down with an axe. In other words, he showed that this answer doesn't really work. Because, lav hainu hoida acha halva, in effect, then that would be the same as a hoida after a halva. Because with a hoida after hoida, you're saying that each aid needs to know of the other one's aiders. Therefore, when you're saying that hoida acha halva would also be, so you're saying this money that I'm moida to you now, I actually borrowed it previously, and then he goes and says this to the second aid as well. So that's Hodah. So in other words, so why would Rav have to even say, Rav had said that it works by Hodah Achodah and by Hodah Achalva, but if you're having to inform both aidim anyway, then it's the same thing. There's no reason for Rav to repeat himself. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, Hainu de Shmi Ali Aleichu. You know what? I've heard of people from your town. Duramithu Dikli the Sekfitulahu. You chop down trees and then you set them back up. So what is this? You yourself are giving an answer and then you yourself are pointing out how to slug up the answer. Well, the Gemara says that the Gemara finishes off. Now, Dori Amri, the Chacham of Nahudah said, no, not like Rav. Bein Hoda Achayda, Bein Hoda Achalva, Bein Halva Achalva, Bein Halva Achayda. Mitzarfus. All four cases can combine together as long as you send one to one aid and the other to the other aid. Kaman Kirbishur Ben Kocha. Necessarily, that's the Kirbishur Ben Kocha. And therefore, the bottom line halacha is that it's like him, even by Metalflin, that two separate aids from two different times can be combined.
Yes, sir.
From there.